All right. Welcome to another episode of Barry's Tarpon World. I am joined today not only with my co-host Robert Lugowitz from Fishing Franks, but we also have Alex from Fishy Radio.
Hello. So,
there's Alex.
I'm very happy to be here with you two today.
Are you?
I am. Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Anytime.
I'm excited.
Anytime. How about you, Robert? Just kind of.
I'm always excited.
I can tell by the tone of your voice.
If you've met Robert before, you know Robert is always excited.
Yep.
Yes.
especially when he's at work.
It's hard for me to jump up and down and scream and yell and I don't know. I'm just monotoned.
Could you pretend? I would love to see you jump up and down.
Yay! I'm having just an absolute blast. Thank you so much for having me. This is absolutely great.
No problem, co-host Robert. That was actually pretty good.
It was kind of scary, but it was good.
He went cross-eyed, everybody, just to give you when he said that. But
Fish.
So today we have something all in common, especially you, Alex. Yesterday you actually slayed this fish. The number one fish we're going to talk about today, because we only talk about not just fish, but big fish and how to catch them, and that is black drum. So let's start off with the world record. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. So this world record was set back in 1975 by Gerald. You know Gerald, Alex?
I've actually never met a Gerald.
He hasn't come into the shop or anything?
A lot of people come into the shop.
Okay. Just not jailed yet. So this black drum, I just had it. It weighed, come on, where did it go? Oh, 113 pounds and 1 ounce. And this was in 1975, and it was caught on 25-pound test.
Oh, beautiful. Does it say where?
Yes, it was caught, let's see, in Delaware Bay, which looks to be...
In Delaware?
Close to Delaware, probably.
Yeah. They went out of Cape... Oh, my gosh, I might not pronounce this correctly. Helenopen State Park to catch bluefish, but they caught this black drum.
Well, the thing is, the great part about black drum is that they're found in so many different geographic locations, from basically Delaware all the way over to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So you can catch them. Primarily, they're associated with inshore and nearshore areas.
Right.
You know, you'll find them out along the surfs and jetties out, you know, on the eastern seaboard. But when you move into the Gulf Coast, a lot of areas where you'll find them, too, is up in bays, canals, harbors, and estuaries, which is what we have here in Charlotte Harbor.
Right. And in the harbor here, there's, since we're focused primarily on the big ones, we can catch them from the size of small redfish, which is about 12 inches, all the way up. To me, in our area, a big black drum is when they hit 50 pounds or greater. Maybe 45.
I think you're spoiled.
Well, I'm just talking about big fish. What do you consider as a big fish for our area here in Charlotte Harbor, Robert?
I mean, honestly, yeah, in that 30 to 50 pound range.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
which is how many inches?
Mid to upper 40s.
Yes. Yes.
Because the first one that I caught was 34, and I thought it was huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they get extremely tall. They start growing less in length and start to get that height than some of the width across their back.
Right. They start getting thicker more than lengthwise. They start filling themselves out when they. Yeah, get like you said, mid-40s up to high-40s is when they start really reaching like those 40, 50-pound class fish, at least in my opinion.
Right.
But what was your first experience when you saw your first drum, and it was 34 inches?
Just pure joy and excitement. It was, it wasn't the fish that I was going for that day, and it's interesting because I caught it on a Rapala X-Wrap,
right.
An XR-12,
uh-huh.
Pilchard color.
Okay.
I cast across the canal in PGI. And
what were you going for with that, with the X-Wrap? What were you trying for?
Snook.
Uh-huh.
I love me some snook.
Uh-huh.
So a slow and steady retrieve. Each time I hit the middle of the canal, there was a bump. So fourth time, same area.
When you say a bump, like a piece of structure or a fish would knock you?
A fish would knock it.
Okay.
Yeah. So three times of knocking, fourth, he actually got on.
Uh-huh.
And it was a nice little fight. It wasn't as long as the fights that I had yesterday, uh-huh. Under the 41 bridge, uh-huh. with the much larger drum. But it was definitely an awesome experience. I'm having a lot of firsts being recently transplanted into Florida.
Right.
And
you've only been in Florida for what, 4 months now?
4.5 months now.
And you've got big black drum under your belt, and along with other species, but that's like...
Well, not only that, but you got a big black drum under your belt on an artificial.
Yes.
Which, in some areas in Florida, it's relatively easy to do, but it's not actually common in our area.
Yeah, especially on an artificial that's mimicking a bait fish. Because, from my opinion, they love things on the bottom and that imitate, whether it be a crustacean, whether it be like a shrimp. Like the voodoo shrimp, I've told you about a million times, I love that thing. Or like a crab imitation. They love things on the bottom that emulate crustaceans more than actual fish, like or bait fish.
So they're more of a scavenger fish?
No, they're actually a predator, but their primary food source, their prey items, are a bottom dweller.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it's like a snook, its mouth is in front of him, so his way of targeting prey is completely different. He actually comes up and sucks in with a vacuum type effect versus a black drum. His mouth is actually... on the bottom of his mouth,
right.
So he's used to grubbing around up against oysters and cracks and crevices looking for crabs, shrimp, and other small crustaceans that are primarily bottom dwellers.
Yeah, they'll eat clams, which are on the bottom. They'll actually crush oysters if they can suck them down into that. They have big crushers just like redfish do in their throat. They'll crush them back there and eat the little whatever's left behind. But, yes.
I was really running that X-wrap high in the water column, too. It never went below 2 feet.
Yeah, that's not that... I wouldn't say it's not common, but it isn't. Like, you can do it. It's definitely doable, but it's not common.
It's not a normal situation. Like, if you're... Like, what we're going to talk about, actually physically targeting black drum, this technique that we're going to talk about here in a second, is the number one most best option to do it. Catching them on an artificial the way you were using it is not one that I would tell somebody, hey, this is how you go
target them, exactly. Well,
what's actually interesting is I was there with a friend, and I had set him up to catch black drum with the voodoo shrimp, and he was jigging it on the bottom.
Really? Yeah. He did what I was telling you, like the proper way, and here you are just trying for snook, and you hook one.
Yeah.
No, it's actually
I've had so much luck with that X-wrap in my canal. I've lost a bunch of them to fish. But
so, yeah.
What do you think was happening when that black drum was bumping the lure? How was he managing? I can't touch a lure with treble hooks without getting stuck. So how was he, like, bumping it and not getting hooked whatsoever?
What could have happened, to be honest, because right now the black drum, and you caught him in the middle of the canal, right?
Exactly.
Higher up in the water column?
Yes.
Because I know where you were fishing, there are schools of black drum that are passing by.
Okay.
What could have been happening... As you kept throwing it to the middle of the canal and getting what you felt were bumps, like the fish hitting it.
Swimming by it.
But what you were, you could have been in a school of them.
Okay.
A small school, and the lip of the plug was ticking off of them every time you would go in that certain area. Because I can't see one fish hitting a lure with treble hooks multiple times, coming back for it, and on top of that, not getting hooked. So I think you were in a school, you just didn't know it. They were suspended. And then that one time you went through them, that one actually grabbed it.
Okay.
I think you were in a school of drum. To me, that's what that sounds like.
But yeah, that makes more sense to me.
Right, especially if you're higher in the water column. Because when those drums school up, they are on the bottom, but sometimes they're so stacked that they will be in the middle of the water column, too. And I think that's what was happening there.
Cool.
Yeah, what's your take, Robert?
I'd agree with that.
Mm. Okay.
You know, the thing is, with our black drum here, you know, compared to some of your other areas, because I don't have a world of experience with black drum in other locations, but... Here, finding a small black drum is tricky.
Yeah,
it'd actually be easier to, or it'd be more challenging to target small black drum than it would be large black drum.
Yeah.
And our black drum that are here usually get into big spawning aggregates, which they'll appear in the canals in 20 to 120 fish in a group. And even out in the harbor, there'll be up to 500 fish in a group. Way out in the middle in the open part mm-hmm. of the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the year, we have our singles, doubles, and triples. They seem to be kind of somewhat of a social type fish where you don't usually see just one. You'll almost always see them in pairs or triples,
right?
Which makes it pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And another interesting thing to add, just like your story, Alex, where you caught the black drum not targeting them.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who caught the world record were going after bluefish with cut mullet, and they caught the world record black drum. So that's kind of... So I guess the moral of the story, whatever we say,
Erase it
and do something different, target another fish, and you'll catch a black drum. But right. Let's segue right into it. So what would you say, Robert, is the best way to target big black drum? Not just in our area, but I mean, it's going to be a universal around the state of Florida and even up in the Carolinas and Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, basically using a blue crab, mm-hmm. you know, a whole blue crab, depending on the size of them. But I mean, I've seen black drum that will take a 5 to 6 inch point to point blue crab. But the most practical way is actually take a big blue crab and cut it into four pieces, split it in half, and then split those pieces in half and throw it out and let it sit on the bottom is usually the most common way to do it. And usually you're fishing along the edges of drop-offs. Like in our area, we're usually fishing in canals. Mm-hmm. So we're casting along the shoreline, but right at the edge of the drop-off. And in some instances, you're also fishing around a lot of pilings or some kind of structure that's going to hold crustaceans.
Right.
So you're going to cast that crab up against those pilings. Like in your instance, Alex, you were fishing along a bridge.
Yes.
You were fishing right up against those pilings of the bridge and letting that bait sink down right next to it. And that's going to be your most productive way.
So basically, think of where oysters build up, where there could be crustaceans, and that's where you want to start throwing your crabs. And they do like to travel, just like any fish, on drop-offs and in canals, for instance, where they dredge it for boats to, like especially sailboats, to be able to pass through. When it drops off from like 3 to 6 feet of water, mm-hmm. that's possibly where you want, that's an edge that those fish will be traveling, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and the other thing too is that usually you're fishing in a, you know, if you're fishing around a lot of the bridges, there's usually current there.
Yes.
So probably one of the most predominant ways is actually using a egg sinker.
Okay.
Like a Carolina type rig or a river rig where your egg sinker is up on your main fishing line, a swivel, then a short piece of leader material, you know, only 18 inches tops, with that crab put on a pretty good size hook, and then just pitch it up there and let it sit right as close to the bottom as possible. And that's why you use a shorter leader. Mm. So the current isn't lifting that bait way up off the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You're keeping it as close proximity to that as possible.
And when you say cut the crab into basically quarters, mm-hmm. I prefer, everyone has their own preferred method. I like to just keep it half, cut them in half and use two baits out of a big blue crab. Do you trim the legs off of yours when you do it?
Nah. Ooh, that was my question.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm in your head, Alex. So, when you were catching them yesterday, Alex, did you... Well, first off, the two questions I had were, do you trim the legs off? And on top of that, do you remove the top shell?
I don't.
You don't. You just leave it all on there.
Frank does.
Frank leaves the top shell on?
No, he removes it.
Sorry, he removes it. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Huh, that's interesting. Because I like to cut the legs with a scissor and also just pop the top off because... Actually, sometimes I do keep it on. Actually, I do keep it on sometimes.
I would feel like it would be better to leave it on
right.
so that the other little pinfish and whatever else is down there isn't going to steal out all that meat.
Right.
Catfish.
Right.
Hopefully you don't have to wait too long to get hooked up, but, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. That's why I leave the shell on.
Yes.
You know, and people think that you got to use a soft-shelled crab you got to worry about the claws and all that stuff. These things eat crabs in the wild, and wild crabs don't come without claws on them. They don't come with their shell off. These fish are totally capable of grabbing that whole crab and crushing it and swallowing it.
Yeah, they're made to eat them with everything on there.
That's their primary food source, so they're designed for that. So it's just a personal preference of what you think you've had the most success with.
Right.
I'll add, yesterday when we were fishing, we were using half crabs, legs cut off, claws cut off. I would say they were 4 to 5 inches, and on a medium weight jig head.
When you say medium weight, was it like a quarter ounce, 1 ounce? How heavy were you?
Yeah, maybe a quarter ounce.
Quarter ounce? Yeah. And then how deep? Did you have a strong current, Alex?
It was a very strong current.
And that was enough to, like, you just cast it up near the bumpers or, like, near the bridge pilings and, like, let it just kind of trickle all the way down?
Yeah, which... And then it moved quite quickly, but the bite yesterday was quite good.
They were just stacked up. They were just waiting for it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. And then what size leader would you recommend, Robert, on black drum?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, for the size of the fish that they really are, they're not extreme fighters.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like a, you know, you take a six, you know, even a 30-pound tarpon versus a 30-pound black drum. Totally different fights. So, you know, you are fishing around structure. So generally speaking, I would suggest something with like 20 or 30 pound braided line with like a 40 to 60 pound leader.
Yeah.
Just for the abrasion resistance, though, is the only reason why you're using that leader, because you are casting it up around pilings and oysters and barnacles and stuff that's going to trash your line.
Right. I would totally agree with you. You're using it, the heavier gear, not because of the abrasion resistance of the drum or anything like that. Or it's just mainly so you can pull that, because where you're going to catch them is mainly around structure. You want to be able to pull that 20-plus pound fish away from that structure in a good amount of time.
Right. And then once you get them out in the open, then you can actually fight them and feel a little bit more comfortable with the actual battle in that particular instance.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, they aren't leader shy, in my opinion. You don't even have to use fluorocarbon. Mono's just fine. They're just more attracted to the scent of the crab, and that's what will bring them in. And I like using... I don't really use octopus circle hooks in any situation except for black drum, because I feel like tarpon and all those other fish can throw the octopus style a lot easier, but the black drum have such a thick, rubbery mouth that it just, to get around that thickness, the octopus, like an 8-0, is perfect with a half a crab.
Right.
And they black drum will not throw the hook on you nearly as well because they have such a meaty mouth. So that's my little, I guess, fun fact or tidbit there.
Yeah, and a circle hook's just a little bit nicer in the aspect because they do have crushers in the back of their throat. They actually vacuum that crab in.
Yeah.
And crush it, and then they try to swallow it. So with a J-hook, sometimes what will happen is it'll go into the back of your throat, and they'll actually crush it completely flat.
Wow.
And you won't be able to get any hook set on it versus that circle hook. Sometimes what will happen is it'll say crush down, it'll kind of lay flat in their crusher, and then as you apply pressure, that thing will actually roll out and hook them right in the corner of the mouth, so your actually hookup ratio is a little bit better.
Gotcha.
Are they at all related to catfish?
No. They're actually related to redfish. They're like the first cousin of a redfish. You know, so there's a lot of different species in the drum family, or in the croaker family, right?
Yeah.
They're in the croaker family, which includes black drum and redfish being the two closest to each other. And then you actually got sea trout.
Yes.
Are in the same family. And then there's another fish called a croaker, which we have here once in a while. So there's a lot of different possibilities.
Do both male and female drums drum?
Good question on that.
Ooh. Oh, I stumped Robert.
Oh, man.
Good question.
He raised an eyebrow for you there, Alex. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
To be honest with you, I mean, I've heard the answer before, but I didn't retain it at all. But I honestly am not 100% sure. I believe it is a male thing, but I'm not even going to be betting on that one.
Is it only during mating season?
No.
Okay.
No, they will drum all year long.
And I was going to say a cool thing about the drum, as Robert was mentioning, they're all related to different... They're all in the same species, whether it be trout, croakers, drum, and redfish. Every single one of those fish, when you bring them out of the water, which you'll notice, is pretty cool with a drum, a black drum, especially the bigger ones, because they're just a bigger fish, and you can actually feel this in your arms, is they will... The drumming... They're called drum because of the noise they make when the muscles around their swim bladder, like it's like a drum. They contract on the air bladder and it makes like a big echoing drum noise. Did you experience that with any of the drums you caught?
No,
yet?
That's
you
why
didn't.
That's why I was wondering if it only happens in a certain sex and a certain time of year, because I've heard them drum in canals before.
Okay,
they'll shake my mom's condo. But none of the drums yesterday drummed.
Weird, because I actually caught one last week and it did. I was removing the hook and they drum and you're like, where is that echo? It sounds like the bass from a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, especially with the bigger ones. You're like, where is that coming from? Oh, it's the fish. So they do that. Trout do it as well, but because they're so small, it's more high pitched. They don't all drum. All trout don't do it either. Croakers are notorious once you pick them out of the live well or whatever. Right. They drum a lot, so that's why they're all in that drum family, right, Robert?
Yeah, but there's other species that do it, too, that aren't related to them. You know, jacks and catfish also do that same noise, but there's something about the taxonomy that keeps them all in the drum family, but that's what they are most noted for.
That's why we have you on the show, to keep the blurred lines clear.
No, I don't know about that, but because some people get confused because they do catch a lot of catfish that are actually going to make some noises, and which comes from the same instance where they're contracting around their swim bladder and making that noise, but your jacks do the same thing, and they're in a completely different family.
Yeah, they're a completely different fish. Interesting.
But here the cool part about targeting them is that in the last 5 years the population has grown immensely on our black drum, because 10 years ago you didn't see as many giant black drum as you used to. 25 years ago black drum were a very common fish to be caught year round here, but during the summertime were in incredible numbers, and then it fizzled out for quite a while where we just weren't seeing the big numbers.
Why is that? Is there a reason you could put on it?
No, I mean, some of it was a little bit of overfishing. People seem to keep those large fish, and I think a lot more people in the last decade have become more conscientious of catch and release, but have actually better educated themselves, because the large black drum actually here in Southwest Florida are very notorious for getting worms in them during the hotter times of the year.
Yeah.
So it turns people off for wanting to keep them. I mean, you can keep in Florida one fish over
20 inches or something?
24 inches.
Or is it 24? Okay.
So basically you keep a giant one, but once you get over about 10, 12 pounds on a black drum in the summertime here, it's got a lot of worms in it.
And these worms, for anyone who hasn't cut open a black drum, they're huge. They look like pasta noodles.
Yeah.
Right? Well, they're like 10 inches long.
That's what they're called.
What?
Spaghetti worms.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They actually use the black drum as a host in anticipation of it getting eaten by a shark, because that's where it actually wants to live its whole life, is inside of a shark.
So they're using the black drum as a medium, as a way to get into a shark.
Yep.
Wow.
That's what that spaghetti worm is known for. When it gets into trout and some of your other species, it's actually ultimate end life. It wants to end up inside of a shark.
So does that mean by default, black drum might make good shark bait?
Oh. Any fish will.
Hmm.
Any fish would.
That's one fish I honestly have not tried for a shark.
Yeah, but black drum have them. Trout have them. Red grouper have them.
Definitely have them.
So there's a lot of different possibilities there. But the coolest part is that here in our area, it's one of those things where if you want to turn someone who's a new angler, or you've got a wife or a girlfriend that's a little apprehensive about fishing but want to really get them addicted to it and excited about it, or a child, this is one of the species where it's very, very feasible to catch one 30 to 50 pounds here in the Charlotte area.
Yes.
And it's very realistic, very doable, without having to exceptionally strong gear. You don't have to have a $400 rod and reel. You can do it on, you can literally do it on a Snoopy pole if you wanted to, but it's very difficult to do, but it can be done.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing fish to catch. To say you caught one over, any fish over 10 pounds is pretty amazing to most people, but to say that the average size black drum here is 35 pounds, and that's an average fish.
Yeah.
40 pounders and 50 pounders are becoming a lot more common in the last couple of years, so it's very well worth going out and targeting.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Alex and Robert, for joining us today on Barry's Tarpon World Radio. And for all you guys out in Radio Land, visit tarponworld.com and let me know of any topics you'd like to discuss. I would love to connect with all of you. And we'll see you on the next episode. Stay tuned. I want a girl who gets up.